Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Ferrell on the bench with Carver Hyde. The number's 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Now, tomorrow night, the Suns and Clippers play in Phoenix again in the Valley, game 2. And the number's 5.5. It was at 6 today. Phoenix was laying 6 to the Clippers. What I'm hearing is Chris Paul will not play. He's out of game 2. And that he's in L.A., I guess. I don't even know what that's about. I guess he's in L.A. waiting for them when they go to L.A. for games 3 and 4.
I think he has a residence there, and that's where he did his quarantining, and it kind of works out. And it kind of works out because that's where the team will be for game 3.
All right. Well, so how much do you think it affects the game tomorrow night that he's not playing? Now, game 1... I never thought that it would be that big of a deal because the Clippers got done playing Friday in a game 6 that was crazy, and then they had to turn around and play an early 12:30 game on Sunday, game 1. I thought that was their biggest problem, not Chris Paul not being in the lineup. I thought they played the game and the Suns very tough. I thought the Clippers game all they could handle. I thought it was a great game. So I just think, personally, I want to know what you think now. Game 2, no Chris Paul. Can the Clippers take advantage of it?
I think that they have to, honestly. Like, I know that they had the short turnaround, blah, blah, blah. Like, they got 2 games here with Chris Paul not playing. I know that they're in Phoenix, but I feel like for the Clippers to win this series, as shorthanded as they are as well with no Kawhi, I felt like they have to win one of these 2 games with no Chris Paul. Like, it's something that you need to take advantage of if you're going to win this series. So you're going to tell me you're going to get down 2-0 and Paul's going to come back in game 3 and you're going to beat him 4 out of 5? I don't know. It just doesn't really add up well to me. I think the Clippers, and you said it today on Coast to Coast, they were in that game yesterday. You know, that game was, you know, in the final minute or two, it was a one possession game. And Phoenix, you know, pulled away in the last minute. They made a shot. They made their free throws. Clippers couldn't do anything. I think the Clippers got to win tomorrow night. And I love them with that number. I love them at 5.5. Love them at 6 when it was there this afternoon. I think this is a huge spot, and they got to get it done.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, because frankly, if you ask me, the Paul situation is, furthermore, is that he's frankly resting. He's had a shoulder issue. He's played a lot of games, and then he got failed a COVID test, so he may not have symptoms. Maybe he does. Who knows? If he was sick or if he did have symptoms, I'm sure it had to suck the life out of him a little, because that's no joke, the COVID. If you get sick with it, it's no joke. So you get pretty sick. You're breathing, coughing, blah, blah, blah. Let's say he had no symptoms, though. Let's say hypothetically he failed a test but had no symptoms, nothing at all. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on a bench with Carver High. So if, let's say he had no symptoms whatsoever and he just had to quarantine, he had to isolate. Far as I'm concerned, he just got rest and he needed it. And, you know, he's a veteran guy that has been around a million games and he's played a lot and he's banged up. So it might have actually helped him, because I don't think a guy as talented as Chris Paul lays down a basketball for 10 days, not even, and loses his swerve. I don't believe he'll lose anything. I think the rest might have done him good. What do you think of that theory?
I think that you're spot on. I agree. I think the kinds of things that Paul was dealing with, because all the reports are, and you don't know, I mean, it is what it is. The reports say that he was symptom-free, that he basically, you know, just had to sit in his house, that he's all right. But the key is the shoulder. The key is the age. The key is playing a lot of games, and now he's had a week to 10 days off to refuel for a final push. Those things, like you just said, are going to be the most important for the Suns. And if they ever got out of home, going to L.A. up 2-0, they win two games with him getting all of that, and then they get a fresh Chris Paul back in the lineup game three, even better for them. Might make the series go a lot quicker than we think it's going to.
And what do you think of, you know, the theory that Payne, all that work he got in any role, like, because they play him anyway, he gets burned anyway, but that they let him, you know, take over that role, and then, let's say, for two games, I think that benefits him even further as a player. I think he gets thicker skinned. I think he gets more playoff savvy. You know what I mean?
Builds his confidence. Yeah, it builds his confidence. And now he knows that he can get it done in a big spot. So this is all part of growing for the Suns. I mean, for a lot of their guys, this is their first bite at the apple. And they're getting a lot of big experience here. I mean, we've already seen D-Book ain't scared of it, that's for sure. D-Book ain't scared of this big stage. He's making it happen.
Dude, he loves just filling it up. I think the same situation here. Machado's coming up with two guys on again. He's already hit one home run. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you, and Carver High is joining me. This Saturday night, the world will be watching. June 26th, Saturday, the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. They've had a lot of basketball there lately and good basketball, but now boxing takes center stage as four-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis will take on a career-defining challenge as he sets his sights on capturing a title in a third weight class when he faces undefeated WBA super lightweight champion, badass Mario El Azteca Barrios. Great fighter. Showtime pay-per-view has it at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. The event, promoted by Mayweather Promotions, GTD, and TGB Promotions. Tickets went on sale. They're available at Ticketmaster.com. In Atlanta, of course, Davis 24-0 with 23 knockouts. The guy has had great wins over Pedraza, Gamboa, you name it. Mario Barrios, 26-0 with 17 knockouts. Trains in the Bay Area with Virgil Hunter, legend, and has a 5.5-inch height advantage over Davis. Since moving up to 140, Barrios is 9-0 with 8 knockouts. There's also a good warm-up fight, 154-pound contenders, Erickson Lubin against Jason Rosario. So Tank Davis and Barrios, Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view. Call your cable operator or order on Showtime.com. There you go. All right, Carver High. So what did you think of the news today about the Raider? Carl Nassib announced that he was gay, and he came out and did it on Instagram, played at Penn State, defensive end for the Raiders. First guy to do it, first active NFL player to come out And then he made a donation of 100 grand to the Trevor Project, which deals with, the LGBT community, suicide, mental end of it, dealing with it. I don't know enough about the Trevor Project other than that's what I'm familiar with about the story, is that he donated to it. So a very historic day for the NFL and for the Raiders and for Carl Nassib, and good for him as far as I'm concerned to have the stones to do it. It's taken forever. I still cannot believe, I think you and I said in the break with one another, that no one's ever done what he did. And that's kind of amazing to me, more than that's more surprising to me than the fact that he announced that he was gay.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm with you. For him to have the stones to do it is just tremendous job by him. You know, we had the guy a couple years ago, but he wasn't really an active player, which was Michael Sam, of course, who was drafted, but was never really on an active roster. Remember the kid that played for Missouri? And now this guy's been in the league for a few years. And look, I think he knows from a public perspective what he's probably getting into. And that's, listen, you know that there's still people who are very ignorant out there who, you know, will say things to him now, whether it's fans in a crowd or opponents or whatever. There's still a lot of ignorant people, but he's ready to take on the challenge, and I think it's great what he's done here.
Listen, without a doubt, I think there's homophobic fans and ignorant fans and drunk, loud, stupid fans that, I mean, there are fans that are so ignorant that they can't even handle black players, like in the Premier League. I have never seen anything like it, Mike, that they abuse black players in the Premier League. These drunken English fans are just the worst. I mean, there's no getting around it. Like, let's stop with all the sugarcoating. They are the worst fans on earth. And they, I mean, they really are. They're as vulgar and disgusting and violent. And they're clearly racist. And I can't even fathom what they would be like if, you had people playing that came out, that just announced what Nassib just did, what kind of abuse they would take. In my opinion, there's a home run for Betts in the game, not to throw the topic off, but Betts with his ninth home run. So that I think it was a solo shot.
After seven straight strikeouts for Darvish before that Betts homer.
There you go, to dead center, 4-1 Padres. So anyway, my point is, I've never seen anything like it. So in the Premier League, the racism, if they knew, and maybe they do, you know more than I do about the Premier League. I know that you follow it more than I do, but I'm just saying that maybe there has been a gay player that came out, but I wouldn't think that would go over too well with those English fans. I think they're the worst on earth. I mean, the way they abuse black players in that league is disgusting. I mean, it really is bad. It's out of control.
No, I believe that there has been, I think there's been a couple in the Premier League. It's not like the NFL where you're finally getting the breakthrough here. There's been a few guys in the past. I forget. I don't recall off the top of my head. There was definitely one guy a couple years ago, but you're right. The way that they go on in that Premier League, the fans, and honestly, you know this, it's kind of soccer now, not just in the Premier League, but worldwide. It's amazing. I mean, we had the deal in Denver a couple weeks ago with that USA-Mexico game.
Right.
With that, I mean, it goes on everywhere with soccer. It's amazing how ignorant a lot of those people are.
What were the Mexican fans? Games. Weren't they doing anti-gay stuff at that game?
I believe that they were, yes.
That's what it was. But they were. Yeah. There wasn't even a gay player. They were just yelling homophobic slurs at the American team. So I imagine I'm just telling you, like, as far as I'm concerned, he's got serious onions to just announce it. No problem. I totally support his life and his choices and his announcement. I'm cool with that. I think he's still going to get abused by fans in the NFL. I just don't think, you know, I think one of the problems is, and I'll just say it, is alcohol. I mean, it makes everybody real brave when they start drinking, and they drink for 5 hours before the game, and they go into those games just completely inebriated. They're all well over the limit. They're all drunk, and they're abusive. They're abusive toward nothing. They're abusive toward the other team. So, like, if Pittsburgh plays in Buffalo week one, no matter what, the Steelers are going to get abused by the Bills fans. Like,
oh, yeah.
The abuse they're going to take is, like, till no end, because they're just vulgar drunks, and they brag about their Bills Mafia and how they're the best drinkers in the league. They're the rowdiest fans in the league, and they abuse whoever comes in there. And so my point is that I just don't believe for 1 minute that that guy's not going to get abused. He's going to get abused because there's so many drunk idiots that go to the games.
I agree 100%. I think that that's going to be the hardest thing that he's going to have to deal with. I think it won't be a problem, you know, for teammates and things like that. I think that the public abuse that he will take from ignorant fans will be the hardest thing for him.
When we come back, we'll talk about Ben Simmons' problems. It's so bad now, today, I heard that he's going to switch back to his right hand. He's gonna switch from his left to his right because he definitely can't shoot with his left. Jesus, the recruits at Petco. My God, there's a chick behind home plate. She's so hot. Honestly, I'm just so distracted. I mean, I can't even
This just goes back to what we talked about at the Suns games a couple weeks ago when they had that blowout in the Sun game. I think it was in the series against Denver. And right. all they had time to do was to show the crowd. And there was just so much action out there. And now you're in another place where the action just flows. I mean, it don't matter what's happening in this game. I mean, I just saw it because I'm like a minute and a half behind you. I just saw what you were talking about there right behind right behind Kim. He's on the on-deck circle getting
right,
ready to hit.
Yeah.
And they just showed what was going on back there. And it's just
all could be California girls.
Tremendous.
I wish they all could be California girls. Oh, my God. What am I doing wrong?
D-back's going to win a game here tonight? They're up 5-1 in the fifth? Are they going to blow this one too?
Are they? They're on the road?
No, they're home tonight. They have Milwaukee at home. They're up 5-1 in the fifth inning. Plenty of time
to blow that lead. How many have they lost in a row? Did you say 17 or something?
They've
like
lost
that?
17 in a row overall, and they've lost. Obviously, they're at home tonight, but they've lost 23 in a row on the road.
And how is Torey Lamulo still the manager?
I'll ask you this. Here's the question that they should have the odds on at FanDuel. If Arizona wins this game tonight, do we get the clubhouse video from who was that? Marte that kept putting up Peralta. It was Peralta. Peralta who puts up them all dancing to that choreography dance in the clubhouse with all the music.
Yeah, no.
Do we get one of those after they break the 17-game losing streak tonight? Do we get a dance from Peralta and the boys?
No, because they suck so bad that I know that I think Lamulo has to tell them.
If they did a dance video tonight after a 17-game losing streak, they should fire the manager tonight. Like, he shouldn't even be allowed to manage a team tomorrow if they put out a dancing video.
That's what I'm saying. They can't celebrate when you've lost. They haven't won a game on the road since April. I mean, not one game since April 19th have they won. That's embarrassing.
Did he just take it yard? Did he just hit it into the hotel? Oh, that was earlier.
That was earlier. No, but he didn't hit a home run either. I don't know what it was. It was a foul ball. What you just saw was a foul ball. He's still at the plate. I don't know what they're showing. That must have been maybe – I don't know what that was from, but that was not live. Whatever that was, it was not live. Because that's not where Machado hit his home run either. So – and now he hits into a double play. Boom. Sit down. So anyway – you know, what's amazing about Urias is his numbers are almost better than, but not quite equal to, it's two wins over what Fernando Valenzuela did in 81.
Yeah.
Urias has the same numbers in the bag, literally, that Valenzuela did, except Valenzuela was like, had, I think, two less losses, right? But this guy's got a better ERA and everything, more strikeouts, everything. He's better than Valenzuela at everything of that 81 season. And I remember that season. I remember watching Fernando Valenzuela and that just crazy time when he took over baseball pitching for the Dodgers. It was amazing. It really was. And that was quite a scene. And then this guy, Urias, he gets none of that. He gets none of that fanfare. Like, if you remember, you weren't around, but that guy, when he pitched back in the day, in 81, I mean, that whole town shut down. Fernandomania, every time he pitched, the whole city shut down. I mean, it was literally, it took over sports. He became the biggest story in sports in 1981, bar none. What he was doing with the Dodgers every night out. He was great, right? And this guy, Urias, is doing the exact same thing. And no one talks about him at all. I mean, barely at all. I mean, they're talking about him tonight because he's pitching, but he gave up the shot to Machado, so he's getting no love tonight either. But the reality is he's put up the same numbers. All right, so I told you I'd talk about Simmons.
Yes.
Ben Simmons is allegedly going to switch to the right hand from the left hand shooting. Now, you can't tell me that won't be a disaster. I don't care how ambidextrous you are. What?
He's going to start from scratch. Just start over.
Yes. I've never heard of that before because, look, when I broke my hand, I had to shoot I had to do everything with one hand, right? So I'm left-handed, so I couldn't use my hand at all. And I had to just do everything with one hand. It was crazy. I mean, brushing my teeth, going to the bathroom, everything about it. Eating was brutal. I couldn't eat. I couldn't hold a fork or a knife, any of that stuff. So I can't even imagine that he thinks he's going to switch hands and become an effective NBA player. I just don't believe that for one minute. I do not believe you can play basketball your whole life left-handed and then become a right-handed star player. I just don't see that working at all. I don't know how do you do that? He can't even shoot a three or a mid-range or a free throw now. And you're telling me he's going to start shooting with the other hand and be good? Do you know how hard it is for people to even use their opposite hand to even make a layup? Like, I know my daughter trains with this great player that played professionally, and she pounds it into her every day. She makes her work on her left hand, going to her left and dribbling to her left, driving to her left, finishing with her left, layups with her left, everything with her left, because she's so good with her right, right? Correct. You see what I'm saying? Like, so she plays great with her right hand. No questions asked. The kid can score 30 points a game. But then now she's training her with her left hand. And it's fun to watch her develop and try to, you know, scoop layups and stuff with her left hand. It's very hard. Like, I can shoot with my left hand. I shoot right-handed, but I am left-handed in life. And you've seen me juggle, Carver High. You know I can juggle five balls and all the rest. You see me, I'm ambidextrous. I'm I can use both hands, and I can shoot with my left hand. I can scoop shoot with my left hand. I can get under the basket, and I can switch hands and shoot with my left hand. But I can't shoot a jumper with it. I can't pull up from 12 feet, 15 feet with a left hand shot and shoot. Not happening. It just doesn't happen. I don't know anyone that can do that. I've never met anyone that can switch hands and just be effective shooting as a shooter.
Ben's going to do it.
So the thing I have a problem with is he's already the worst player I've ever seen. I've never seen anyone ever shoot as bad as him. Name one player you've ever seen shoot as bad as him.
Joe Harris.
Name one. No. You can't even name one. He's the worst shooter I've ever seen in my life. Now you're telling me that this guy is going to go out and start switching hands and shooting well? My effing ass, okay? That's all there is to it. My effing ass. I'm telling you, that's not happening. And here's the other thing. He's so bad mentally right now. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he like quits playing basketball.
He's already leaving Australia high and dry, right? Quit on the Australian Olympic team. Said, forget that. Not going.
Well, what's he
going
to do? Go brick his ass off in the Olympics? He's a bricklayer, bro. He's the worst. So he has absolutely zero confidence. His mind is gone. Basketball mind is shot. Bro, he is 6'10", and he had a dunk. He was 2 feet from the rim, and all he had to do was flush dunk it, and he would have got and one. He would have been fouled, and he would have gone to the line. That's what he was worried about, getting fouled and missing the free throws. So he passed the ball on that baseline dunk. It was an easy dunk, and Embiid called him out on it. He's like, you know, we turned down a dunk for a free throw and only made one of them. That was the turning point in the game. He literally drove over his head with both axles in the car and backed up and did it again. He threw him under the bus. And drove over his head with both axles. And then in reverse, and then went forward and did it again. That's how badly he did his own teammate. He's done in Philly. Done. There is no way that guy is playing on the Sixers another day. Not once. Do you see that happening, Carver?
No, I don't think he'll play for the Sixers. And now listen, so they're going to have to probably do the kind of thing that Boston did, like give a team first round picks to take him, to take the deal, but they'll have to find a way to get it done.
They got to get it done. I mean, I will bet my life they're already talking about it. When we come back, we'll talk about Frank Clark of the Chiefs having a bad day. All right, so Saturday night, Carver High has already etched out his plans because what's going to happen is Wednesday night is game 6, Friday night's game 7, Saturday night is Davis Barrios, a great fight at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, GA. This Saturday, the 26th, Showtime pay-per-view. It starts at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. It's a Mayweather Promotions GTD and TGB promotion fight. And Ticketmaster has tickets if you're in the area and you want to go see it live. But how about four-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis, one of Mayweather's fighters, top fighter, if you will, takes his career to a whole new level as he sets his sights on capturing a title in a third weight class when he faces undefeated WBA super lightweight champ of the world, Mario L. Azteca Barrios. And I'm telling you, Davis, 24-0, 23 knockouts. He has beaten everybody they put in front of him. In his first pay-per-view headlining appearance, he knocked out four-division champ Leo Santa Cruz in spectacular fashion in October of the COVID year, 2020. He has sold out venues everywhere, Baltimore, Atlanta, and in Southern California. He's beaten everyone, Gamboa, Pedraza, you name it, Santa Cruz, etc. But Barrios is a different beast altogether. 26-0 with 17 knockouts. The guy has moved up to 140, 9-0 in those fights with 8 knockouts and has been incredible as a champ. This, my friends, is an incredible fight. Saturday night, plus the 154-pound contenders, Erickson Lubin against Jason Rosario. Those fights are great. Trust me when I tell you, this Saturday night, Showtime pay-per-view, go to Showtime.com to order the fight or just call your cable operator to order the pay-per-view fight this Saturday from Atlanta. So anyway, today, and I don't know if there's any other fallout that you have for Ben Simmons, but I did want to say, before I get into this Frank Clark story, that I refuse to back down on the fact that Doc Rivers sucks. I'm sick and tired. I'm not going to ever back down on it because it's just too easy. It's just too easy. All I have to do, don't get me started on this guy's failings. Don't get me started on the sheer facts of his utter disastrous year after year, one failure after the next from 09 until now, every single year. 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It's 13 years in a row of failure, of utter disgusting failure. You can't even argue it. He's lost more playoff games than anyone ever. He's coached in more playoff games. Fair enough. You can look at it a half dozen one way or the other. He's coached in more, but he loses more than anyone ever. So what's the difference? You coach in more or you lose every time you coach? Because every time he coaches, he loses. Does he not lose every series? Carver, how you can't even argue it. Have you ever seen anyone lose or more game sevens or more series clinching losses than anyone ever, more game seven losses than anyone ever? And he's the highest paid coach in the NBA. And then how about this one? I said it today on Coast to Coast. I'm going to repeat myself. This guy couldn't do anything with the Clippers. Couldn't do anything with the Clippers. And the minute he left, Ty Lue went in there and in his first year went to the Western Conference Finals, which they never did before either. They never went to the Western Conference Finals. They went in his first year and they did it without Kawhi Leonard because Kawhi Leonard got injured. He's done. And they did it with Paul George and Reggie Jackson and Morris and Zubats and a bunch of hacks, Kennard, you name it. And Ty Lue did it in his first year in L.A., and he won a title in Cleveland, right? So he's won titles, and he knows how to win. He's a winner. And then Doc Rivers had the same team, and he couldn't get his, get out of a wet paper bag. I mean, the guy, he can't get out of his own way. I have never in my life seen a guy get more juice and more accolades and more people talking about how great he is and they're always interviewing him and they're always doing like this inside microphone on Doc Rivers and they're always talking to him in the, at the end of the third quarter in these NBA games like they do every coach. But they're always talking to him like he's some kind of genius. Is there anyone worse than him? I don't care what you say, you can talk till you're blue in the face. I refuse to argue with people about it. He sucks. He's a terrible coach, and that's just all there is to it. I had this argument with, did I not have this argument last week with Marcus Hayes in Philly? He blames nothing on him. He blames nothing on him. No one blames him for anything ever. And then I heard yesterday, same thing, or today, Magic Johnson said it. He doesn't play. He doesn't play. The players, it's their fault. And then, same thing with Brad Stevens. They never blame Brad Stevens for anything, ever, when all they do is lose. When it matters most, they get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, whatever, but they always lost, right? He never won anything in Boston, and yet they get rid of Danny Ainge. Don't tell me Danny Ainge walked away because it was over. I mean, it was if somebody was going, it was him. He left, and then Brad Stevens gets his job as the head of everything in Boston. Meanwhile, he couldn't win Jack as a coach. And all they ever talked about is how much of a genius he was, right? Genius. He's about as much of a genius as I am. Okay, thanks. I'm not a genius. But McVay, here's another guy. He's a genius. About as much of a genius as getting his ass beat in the Super Bowl. Okay? And then this guy, Doc Rivers, I think he's like the highest paid guy in the league. Meanwhile, he never wins Jack Shack. He doesn't win Jack Shack. And that is that. He sucks. I don't care what anybody says. Do you remember when I got in the argument with our friend in Philly, the morning guy? And it just, he said, it's okay, Pharrell, for you to be wrong this one time. You have no idea what you're talking about. The Sixers are going all the way. This is their year. No one's stopping them. They're the best in the East. They're the number one seed. They lost to a team with no all-stars. They lost to a five. They lost to a team they should not have lost to in any way, shape, or form. And they blew leads of 18-26, and then they lost game 7 on their home floor. And they got a 7-footer that's unstoppable in Embiid, and they still lost. Who do you blame? Everybody's blaming Ben Simmons. Everybody's blaming Ben Simmons. Everybody. No one blames Doc Rivers for anything. Doc's already plotting next year, which will be his next failing. That'll be the next complete failure. That'll be the next disaster next year. It's every year. It's every year in Philly. And this guy just keeps raking the big bucks to lose. I mean, where do I sign up for that job where you never win and you make more money than anybody else in the league?
Amazingly.
It's beyond me.
Amazingly, he's the third highest paid coach in the NBA. So he's third. And one of them, I knew one guy was going to be ahead of him, and that's number one. Popovich is first. He makes $11 million a year. So Popovich is ahead of Doc. But I am stunned. I had no idea this guy was second ahead of Doc Rivers. Steve Nash is the second highest paid coach in the NBA. Believe that?
Well, yeah, because he just got
that. 8.7 he makes. And Doc makes 8, along with Steve Kerr. Doc and Steve Kerr both make $8 million a year.
And I'll tell you what, Steve Nash doesn't coach Jack Shack either. He doesn't coach anything because I guarantee you, Durant, Kyrie, and Harden aren't listening to him. They just like him because he balled, because he played. And they get along. And I think Doc has that too, some of that where the players like him. He's a player's coach because he played. But I'm telling you, that title he won in Boston that everybody gives him credit for, you talk about giving the credit to the wrong person. Yeah, it should be on Pierce, Big Ticket, Allen, and Rondo won that title, and Doc Rivers had nothing to do with it.
Like, I get it. When you win a title, you know, nobody can take that away from you. I understand all of that. You know, your championship is forever, blah, 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 blah. But when you win a title, and then for the next 13 years, you lose 500 game sevens, and 500 playoff, you know, and you lose a billion playoff series and you lose a billion game sevens. Because all this has happened since he won that title. He didn't
That's
win the
right.
title 2 years. He didn't win the title 2 years ago. He won the title, what was that? 07, 08, something like that. This is 08. A while ago now that he won that title. He's done a lot of losing since that title. So eventually it's gotta even out a little bit or go in the favor of the other thing. You gotta win again. I mean, this is a lot of losing you've done now. A lot.
That's all he's done is lose. He's never won anything since 08.
But big losses.
Nothing.
I mean, he's not just losing. He's losing in big spots. He's losing in huge spots.
Well, he always says afterwards, he'll say, well, you know, there's 29 other teams that lose too. And look how far we, and look how far my teams go. They go far. Well, what's the difference between losing in the first round and losing in the semis?
Those Clippers teams didn't go far. Those Clipper teams didn't go far. This is the first
time they
ever
made it out of the second round once.
The first time they ever got to the Western Final was the year after he left. What does that tell you? He's gone.
That's all you need to know.
Lou comes in, and now they make the Western Conference Final with Kawhi getting hurt.
And meanwhile, in L.A., no one's ever given a rat's ass about the Clippers ever. And now they're in the conference finals, and everybody's on them like stink on Shaq. I mean, everybody loves the Clippers now. They're the hottest ticket in town in L.A. now because they're in it, and the Lakers are dead.
He did an awful job with those Clipper teams that had Paul and Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. He did an awful. Those teams were stacked. He did an awful job with those.
The only thing he did well in Los Angeles was get Donald Sterling thrown out of the NBA.
Yeah.
That's all he did. Once he got all those brothers to turn on that owner, it was all over but the shouting for Sterling. That's the only thing Doc Rivers accomplished in L.A. was getting rid of that racist. All right, real quick. Frank Clark, what in God's name, the Chiefs player, gets pulled over in L.A. with an Uzi in his car.
I mean, geez, an Uzi. Like, honestly, dude, like, we're not talking about an unregistered handgun or something like that. Talk about an Uzi. Like, what are we doing here? Honestly, bro.
He's just going down to the mini mart for a pack of smokes. Got to protect yourself.
Having a bad day. I mean, what are you doing with the Uzi in the car?
How about the cop noticed the Uzi? Like, he's just looking in the car. He's like, what's that?
Is that an Uzi?
Hold on a second. Is that a submachine gun in your...
It's not a Happy Meal. I mean, it's an Uzi. Like, honestly.
I don't even... What do you do with an Uzi except spray the whole party? I mean, it is unbelievable. Frank Clark of the 20-0 Kansas City Chiefs. So, Frank Clark says that when they arrested him, Tatis with a shot into the corner, a double, 4-1 Padres in the bottom of the fifth. Frank Clark said it was not his Uzi. It was a member of his security team. He'll be represented by allegedly Alex Spiro. He says he's got a security team. And
why
it's
does Frank Clark need a security team?
Very like, popular, two-time Pro Bowler.
What does Frank Clark need a security team for? Does he think he's Patrick Mahomes? Like, what is... What's Frank Clark need a security team for? And does he need a security team that requires a security team to carry Uzis around? Like, honestly, like, what are,
he's very
what
popular.
Are we doing? Like, what are we doing here?
Two-time Pro Bowler. And, you know, he had problems in domestic violence at Michigan. He got thrown off the team when he got into it with his girlfriend. He's been arrested before. You know, maybe she's stalking him.
Yeah.
You know, he needs an Uzi. Here's a home run into the seats and right.
Look out.
6-0. I think it was Cronenworth. Cronenworth just jacked a shot to right. 6-1 Padres. Astros up on the Orioles 10-2. Reds and Twins 3-3 in the ninth. Diamondbacks up 5-1 over the Brewers. Could their 17-game losing streak end tonight? Mets and Braves split 2. Mets 4-2 in the first game with DeGrom on the hill. And Braves 1-0 in the second game. Indians 4-0 over the Cubs, and the Rangers upset the A's 8-3. There you go. So, yeah, Frank having a bad day with the Uzi pullover. Got pulled over with an Uzi in his gym bag, you know. I'm sure he carries around his security team's gym bag in his Lambo SUV, too. I wonder if his security team sleeps in his bed, too, at night.
He should lend his security team to Ben Simmons. He's in Philadelphia right now. That dude needs security.
He might need security when he's practicing switching to his right hand. All right, I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.